You're listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, where we talk to the individuals that help move our party forward. I'm your host, Executive Director Chris Spengel. You can hear all of our podcasts at podcast.lpin.org, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Financial support for this podcast comes from the 1994 Society. The 1994 Society is made up of grassroots libertarians like yourself that donate monthly to the Libertarian Party of Indiana. To join, please go to lpin.org/join. We thank you for your continued support. Phyllis, thank you very much for joining us here on the podcast. Tell us the beginning. Where did the court cases begin? What is the situation?
The court cases begin with the Cordry Sweetwater Conservancy District trying to impose rules and regulations and taxes that aren't authorized by the statute under which they're formed. We recently received, 3 years ago, a notice from the Cordry Sweetwater Conservancy District that all freeholders, that's the property owners within the district, which is 4 square miles, would be forced to dig up their own private septic system for an inspection to see if there was something that might be wrong with it in the future that could cause a problem.
Would it be on your dime?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
State of Indiana is the only authority over privately owned on-site sewage disposal systems. That's an Indiana Health Code statute. And in order for the state of Indiana, through their local health departments, to force a property owner to do anything to their private septic system, they must first prove that you are having a failure. And a failure is observed by the system not working properly. Either you cannot use your functions, or it's leaching outside the home, it's causing an odor, and it's leaking in above the ground. That is not the situation. This is simply seizing your property by the district and forcing you to inspect before you've even done anything. That's when we started looking into what the district was doing. Now, we've been down there for over 35 years. We bought our property, and the deed states we have specific rights. It's a 2-page deed, 14 covenants and restrictions. We went to the recorder to get a copy of our warranty deed. We found out that it no longer exists. It is now 28 pages. It was changed by the Conservancy District in the year 2000.
I mean, are these Conservancy Districts pretty consistent across the state? I mean, what we've talked about, is this happening across Indiana? Are you a special case of abuse? I mean, how does it sort of shake out across the state of Indiana?
From what I've been able to discover, basically going to the DLGF site that approves the budgets, is that they're only approving the budgets for the other conservancy districts for the authorized purposes, because they even state in their budget approvals, DLGF states in their budget approvals for other conservancy districts, that they are a special taxing unit outside of governmental authority and outside of governmental purposes, and they're established to provide for these works of improvement, and they're then in a different budget. I have not run across any other general fund budget of a conservancy district like the Cordry Sweetwater Conservancy District, which is being approved by DLGF.
Okay, so what is the point of the Conservancy District? What do they do? I mean, is it walk us through a Conservancy District. Most people probably don't live in one or don't really know what you're talking about.
There are close to 100 in the state of Indiana. Conservancy districts are formed by local groups of people in a designated geographical area to provide for one or more of the 9 authorized purposes of a conservancy district, and they all relate to benefiting water management. You can form a conservancy district to put in a water supply system, to put in a sewer system, to build water retention, to build dams, to maintain levees. They all revolve around those purposes. Then you are taxed for the benefit that the purpose provides your property specifically, not on the basis of the value of your property as established by the county assessor. It's a cost-to-benefit ratio tax. The other conservancy districts are doing it. Cordry Sweetwater, to the best of my knowledge, is the only one who is filing a general fund budget with line items covering governmental services, which is being approved by the Department of Local Government Finance.
That budget, is that the sticking point, or are they taxing too much? I mean, what is it about the Conservancy Sweetwater District that got you riled up?
The main problem is the resolution which they passed which states the Conservancy District is requiring all properties to have their private septic system inspected and cleaned and maintained according to Conservancy District standards, or you would lose your lake privileges, or they would take you to court to enforce the resolution. This is a resolution, is not an ordinance. Private septic systems are not under the jurisdiction of Conservancy Districts. They are under the jurisdiction by statutory authority of the Indiana State Department of Health as administered through local county boards of health. It is a private property issue. Then we checked our covenants and restrictions on our deeds and found that the district had changed them without any authority. That's what brought the whole thing up.
So the Conservancy District came to you and said that they now had authority over your septic system and that they wanted to check it, which meant you had to pay to have it dug up. How do they get away with that? I mean, how do they enforce that? Do they send uniformed officers out to your property with a bulldozer? I don't understand how they can just say that we're going to come onto your private property and dig up your septic system and make you pay a bill for work that may or may not be required.
The only thing the Conservancy District did was they had a regularly scheduled board of directors meeting. They voted to pass a resolution mandating all property owners comply with the septic system regulation. They sent us then a 3-page letter demanding that we do this, along with the list of the approved septic inspectors that they approve, and told you that you had to hire one of them within a specified period of time to have them come out, dig up, clean, and evaluate your septic system. Most everybody else in the district complied.
I mean, where do they get their authority, though? If they're not part of the county government, they're not part of the state government necessarily. They're just the state code allowed a mechanism for a group of citizens to get together and fix a problem that affects all the people within the certain community. How do they create their own government out of that?
The board of directors simply do so at regularly scheduled meeting. They decide we want to have this rule and regulation. They write it, vote on it. If a majority of the 7 vote on it and approve it, it becomes a rule, and everyone is expected to abide by it.
So what's the enforcement mechanism? I mean, a group of citizens that get together and just create their own government, I can't just go to the apartment complex and say, guess what, I'm the leader of this apartment complex. I'm now charging everybody an extra $5, and then I get to do what I want because I say so. I guess I just don't understand how they're getting away with it. And I think actually off air you told me they have their own police force too.
How they're getting away with it is the property owners don't understand they can't do it. The circuit court has the authority over all conservancy districts. It's the same throughout the state of Indiana. The circuit court in any given area is the sole authority over the conservancy district. There is no state oversight, no county oversight. What's happening in our conservancy district is that the county is acting in conjunction with the Conservancy District to cite them authority in the instance of law enforcement. The Conservancy Act provides for no law enforcement authority within the 9 authorized purposes for which a district can be formed. Law enforcement authority is a Title 36, a county, a city, a town authority. What has happened in Cordray Sweetwater is the county commissioners of Brown County and the Brown County Sheriff have entered an interlocal agreement with the Cordray Sweetwater Conservancy District, which has deputized men to enforce the state laws of Indiana, the ordinances of Brown County, and the rules and regulations of the Conservancy District under the authority of Brown County. Absent any state authority to have law enforcement for a conservancy district, then they are charging the property owners taxes, even though Brown County is required by law to provide for law enforcement for the same area. They're required to provide for law enforcement for the entire county, and they're charging us for it. Brown County is charging the people in the Conservancy District for law enforcement authority.
So how many people are we talking? How many homes? How big is the district?
The district is approximately 4 square miles, 3 of which is underwater because we impound 2 large lakes, Cordray Lake and Sweetwater Lake. Approximately 2,000 properties, without going down to the county records, I couldn't tell you exactly. More than 50% are not full-time residents. They're owned by people who live in places like Indianapolis and Carmel and Zionsville, who have recreational homes down there. And it's fairly large. The last county valuation for the area that I saw was at $230 million.
Okay, so we're not talking about it affecting a lot of people. It's clearly a case of runaway government in your area. How does this affect the person that might be listening in LaPorte, Indiana, or Clarksville?
This affects the person who might be living in any place in Indiana, because we filed two lawsuits challenging what the Corgi Sweetwater Conservancy District is doing. One was Klosinski versus Department of Local Government Finance, which was the first case in which we challenged the authority of the Department of Local Government Finance to approve the taxes the Conservancy District was charging for governmental services which were not authorized by the Indiana statute. We were denied standing to object to those taxes because we did not own 10% of the value of the property in the Conservancy District, or nine other property owners were not standing with us, which means an individual in the state of Indiana, according to the tax appeal code, unless they own 10% of the value of property in the unit that is taxing them, has no right to have due process and appear before a court of law for a wrong done to them. They're saying that we have no right to appeal, to object to what they're doing. So this is how it affects now every taxpayer in the state of Indiana. The second lawsuit, Klosinski versus CSCD, was just decided by the appeals court in the state of Indiana, which has now decided that just because we pay the taxes to the Conservancy District does not give us standing to object to the illegal activities, which means now that anyone in the state of Indiana could have that cited as precedent, that just because you pay the taxes, you do not have the right to object to your taxing unit's illegal activities or illegal taxation because the appeals court has determined it doesn't cause you harm.
So you can do whatever you want to do, and the person that's footing the bill no longer has the right to complain.
Correct.
Okay. This is the part where every libertarian listening to this starts scratching at their radio and just starts going nuts, because it's just, you know, between the Barnes decision and then the case that came out the other day about a woman who had someone drive her home because she was inebriated. She was arrested for public intoxication, basically making the legal argument now that your car is a public place.
Correct.
And then the Barnes decision says that we don't really need warrants if we don't want a warrant. And then now we're saying because you pay taxes, you don't have a right to object to a legal activity that just because you're paying for it. Okay.
And the Department of Local Government Finance, in its decision to us, has stated that they do not determine whether or not the taxes they approve as legal, that you must pay under penalty of law or lose your home, have to be legal in order for them to approve it. They don't have the authority to determine that the tax they approve for a taxing unit is legal for the unit to collect.
All right, so you've sued. You've gone the judicial route. Let's talk about the other two branches. Have you talked to the legislative branch? How receptive have they been to your story? Do they understand it?
The response from lawmakers is very confusing. We appeal to Governor Daniels, did speak with his executive assistant twice, was assured that the governor was concerned and would take it under advisement. Instead, we received a letter from the DLGF saying that the governor had sent the complaint over to them, which was the agency we complained about. And then the next time he sent us back to the DNR, which again was the agency we complained about. As far as our senator, at first Senator Simpson was helpful. She assured us that we wouldn't fall through the cracks. Then when the decision came down from the Supreme Court not to hear our case based on the merits, all of a sudden all communication with her was cut off. Instead, I was referred to the counsel for the Senate Democrats. I believe her name was Bernice Corley. The senator would not respond to my calls directly anymore. Everything had to come through the counsel. And the last conversation I had with the counsel was, the senator has done all she intends to do, that it's up to the court to decide on whether or not you have any legal rights, and they've decided that you don't have the right. As far as our representative, Representative Cook, he scheduled an appointment and he did meet with us and the DLGF, which sidestepped every question that he asked them and that we asked. We brought the same situation back to him, and his assistant stated that there doesn't seem to be much of a problem since we are the only two people complaining, and that the representative would need other assistance from other representatives in order to get the state tax code changed so that every individual in the state of Indiana would have the right to appeal an illegal tax by a taxing unit. I have sent letters to every senator and representative who signed the amicus brief in the Barnes case. I have not had one response back positive to anyone who was even interested in discussing it. One gentleman did respond that I had to, according to protocol, go to my senator in order to get the issue brought up before he would consider discussing it. And I said to his assistant again that the senator votes when he votes for laws, and they cover everyone in the state of Indiana. If I can't get any assistance from my senator, I should have the right to go to any senator who would assist me. And I was told that that wasn't protocol. And no one else has responded.
What about the House side?
No one. No response from anyone from the representatives.
The executive branch has not been helpful. The judicial branch has not been helpful. You're not getting any media coverage. And the judicial branch is, I'm not going to say they're helpful, because they're actually hurting not only you, but every other person in the state of Indiana. This can't be easy. You know, feeling like you're sort of in the fight by yourself probably takes a lot out of you.
It definitely does. And we're an older couple, and we thought we were going to retire, but we're not. We have attorney bills coming out of the yazoos. Our next step is we have 10 days now to file an appeal with the Indiana Supreme Court to try to overturn what the appellate court has done. Because unless it does, it stands as precedent for everyone in the state of Indiana. Not only is your standing removed, this appeals court, because it concerns a conservancy district, has also altered the Indiana State Health Code. The Indiana Board of Health, through its local health officials, is the only authority for private property septic systems, sewage disposals, health concerns. This appeals court ruling has now ruled that conservancy districts, because the statute says it shall be liberally interpreted, the appeals court has interpreted that to mean that conservancy districts now have the authority to control all collection, treatment, and disposal of sewage, even the collection, treatment, and disposal of sewage through private septic systems. There is no mention of IDEM standards, ISDS standards, or DNR requirements in this order, which means they could basically set up whatever standards they want. The Indiana Constitution requires conformity of law. Conformity of law means everyone is under the same Board of Health rules and regulations. Now we are not.
So you mentioned that you're close to retirement age. I can imagine that being close to retirement age and knowing the cost of lawyers, I know how much money you must have spent, and I'm not going to ask you for a number, but why do you keep it going? Why keep fighting? You know, you're not getting help at any corner. What is driving you?
Your home is your life. If they take that, you have nothing.
Okay, that's pretty succinct. So your next step is to appeal to the Supreme Court of Indiana. How many more days do you have left? Is there anybody that, if they're listening, any help that you might need? What do you need from the listening audience to help fight this? Do you have a website? Do you have an email that you could give us? Do you have a lawyer that people could, you know, is there a fund that people can help donate to pay for the legal bills? What action can our audience take?
Well, we have never asked for assistance financially from anybody. I mean, we've had to remortgage the house in order just to keep going. I mean, Chris was kind enough not to ask how much, but it's well into the double digits. What I would like you to do, though, is to protect the rights of everybody in the state. We need to get the tax appeal law, which is currently on the books, changed so that you as an individual can appeal your illegal tax. I doubt very much that the Conservancy District in Brown County, Indiana, is the only taxing unit that is getting by with a tax that is illegal, because the DLGF is not looking at the legality of the tax the people are collecting. They are simply signing the budgets and approving them.
We need to get that changed. I have tried my representative, my senator, the governor to get that changed. I have written to everybody. I'm appealing to each of you. Write them, call them, join with the LP, do whatever you can. And as far as donations, make the donations to the LP so that we can drive this initiative. They're the only people who have even shown any concern at all by getting this out. I have been to the Democrats. I've talked to the Senate Council for Democrats. They are not concerned at all about your constitutional rights. I have been to the Republicans. I have been to the governor. Those parties are not interested. Only the Libertarian Party has shown any interest whatsoever. So if you wish to make contributions, please do so to the Libertarian Party. Mike and I will survive somehow.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Do you have a contact that people, if they just want to lend some moral support to you, or have a lead on a lawyer that might be willing to do some pro bono work in the Supreme Court case, because I imagine that's huge. I mean, pro bono work would be amazing. What's your phone number and your email?
My email is well known. We're all over the LLTT with that. It's elementalinterpretations@aol.com. That's Elemental Interpretations. And my phone number is 317-933-2449.
I can't thank you enough for coming by and giving us your story and talking about this issue. It's incredibly important. I think your stick-to-itiveness, the lack of willingness to give up, to continue to fight for what's right, even at personal cost, is personally inspiring to me, and I think to a lot of people listening. So I can't thank you and Mike enough for what you're doing. And I wish you all the best, because it matters a lot to every person in Indiana.
Yes, it does. And in fact, Mr. Horning's presentation about rule of law, this brings it home. This connects you to exactly what he's trying to show you. It does not exist. And each of you probably has his own situation happening to you. You just don't realize it. So we need to get everyone involved and everyone to realize they need to question what their government is doing. They need to question that property tax bill. They need to question, what right do you have to tax me for that? Is that a service you're supposed to be providing? If not, you have a right to your money. You earned it. You should not be giving the government something they do not have a right to have.
Thank you for listening to the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast. For more information, please visit us at lpin.org. Our music has been provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. To hear more of his music, please visit briankeithwallen.com or find him on Facebook. Thank you for listening. When you got November on your mind.